Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome. It is game week. My stomach is so messed up already. Anyways, welcome to Utah.
Welcome.
I know, but it's like anybody else. I'm not going to sleep this entire week. Is that your
Ambien
phone?
Ambien is my phone. I turned it down. Apologize.
Welcome to the Utah Football Fans Podcast, and it is game week. It is finally here. Only three more days.
Wait all year for this.
Hey, man, I'm ready. I want to get to it. I'm kind of sick of everything.
I know. I just want football.
Let's just play some ball.
Anyways, thank you. Huge thank you to our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics. Please look him up at thomasortho.com. Follow him on social media if you're wanting to see his the before and after pictures of the work that he does, because it's awesome. Give him some love. And thank you to all of you for your super thanks, your super chats. We really appreciate those. And it allows us to do stuff like the tailgate and do some more fun interactive things with you. And speaking of the tailgate, Thursday from 3 to 5, come stop by Utah Football Fans Tailgate. We've got drinks from Sugar House Distillery, which we went and stopped by their facility today.
It was nice, man.
How is it?
Oh, it's nice. Oh,
we talked to the owner. He's
so
nice.
Did you sample a few, or he gave us a...
We did not.
But a few cases that you don't want to drink two, or you're going to miss the game.
Yeah, he did give us that tip that one is plenty, so one is fine. And then we've got Gaetano's subs, and I don't have a sub here to show, but you'll want to stop by and see that. And then we have these Nothing Bundt cakes.
This is what I'm looking forward to.
So they're in Foothill, located in Foothill Village, which is 5 minutes from the university. We're going to have a bunch of these small little ones. They're called Buntinis.
Oh, that's so cute.
I want you guys to taste them. I was eating a few of these today. Man, oh man,
you don't want to miss this.
They are delicious.
They high protein?
Yes.
Okay,
and
good.
Then
where's the napkin?
I know. Just lick your fingers. I can't whatever. Eat this. It's fine. But what's really cool, Nothing Bundt cakes, is they are actually going to be selling concessions in Rice Eccles.
Oh, cool. I didn't
know
that.
It'll be like these size. This kind
Dang,
of
this is mine, by the way. This is coming home. My wife's going to want this. So
I know.
I'm going to go ahead and just...
That's good.
About section 20 is what they said up on the concourse.
Awesome.
So make sure, I mean, you know, that like 8 p.m. halftime when...
Dang.
That sugar craving hits, you're going to want to go grab one of these. And they're delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
They're so good.
Oh, my gosh. So good. There's like eight of... I'm eating all these.
I know.
And Brendan, I'll have a Red Bull and then one of these. So plenty of sugar for me, baby.
Oh, jeez.
No,
please don't.
So, yeah, make sure you stop by. We are on Guardsman Way, on the grass.
Yeah, give the instructions again.
Directly across from, so between the football facility and the Eccles Tennis Center is a crosswalk. Mm-hmm. You walk across that crosswalk, up the stairs, we are right there. On the grass, right on the walkway. You have frosting all over your face.
I'm not exaggerating. I know they're giving us stuff at the tailgate.
No, they're delicious.
These are incredible.
I had some of the carrot cake one today.
I'm not a carrot cake guy.
Oh, they were so good, though.
Who wants a vegetable inside of their pastry?
No, it was so good.
No.
Back to the tailgate, though.
Yeah, we're going to have giveaways.
So Guardsmen, across from the facility, up the stairs, we are right there. There'll be signs, banners,
flags,
whatever, beverages, food. Come on by.
While supplies last, I'm going to throw that in there.
I mean, from 3 to 5, so get there at 3 because
3 to 5
limited.
Giveaways from Williams Wood Design. We've got those cool signs. We showed them last time. We're just going to have a good time and come celebrate with us that football is back, and it's a big one.
And let's talk weather.
Okay.
Hey, Jordan Brown,
Shout out. Thank you, Jordan. We will yell very loud for you. I promise. If we have a voice by Thursday,
I usually yell so much I get like lightheaded.
Oh, yeah. I've almost fainted multiple times.
I know. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Gosh, those were so But I looked at the weather. I'm sure you have, too.
Oh, yeah.
What is it now? A high for the day, 90? The night is supposed to be...
Oh, it'll be perfect.
I mean, it's perfect as long as we don't get any change in a shower or something or a lightning
delay.
Yeah, delay.
Don't need that.
That happened to me on Saturday night at a Royale.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
As it looks right now, perfect night. It's going to be great.
Zero humidity.
Great. But plenty of altitude.
Yep.
It's going to be
zero humidity, plenty of altitude. That's a great tagline. We should...
Zero humidity, plenty of altitude.
Plenty of altitude.
Yeah, we've got enough taglines.
That's true.
Yep. All right. All right. Well,
let's do this thing.
Let's talk. Let's talk, you fans. Let's talk Thursday. Why don't we just start with the let's start with the depth chart and kind of work through that with Utah. We've read it. I'm sure most everybody has read the depth chart or heard about it. And of course, number one is QB. Number one, Cam. Number two, Barnes. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm surprised. I'm a little surprised Barnes is two. I'm not surprised they put Cam one. Cam's the guy. Whether he goes or not, we don't know. But I'm a little surprised Barnes is two, honestly.
I don't think it's set, though.
Oh, it's not. They could put...
I mean, Whittingham said that today. It's not.
It means nothing.
They still don't know. I think some of this depth chart is just such a mind game. Like, yes, I do. QB especially. Because
all
Cam...
mind games.
Of course you're going to put Cam one, but...
But don't you think...
I don't know. I just think it's the Whittingham way.
It is the Whittingham
way.
Know. He's always done this.
I like, though, I did write it down. He says, someone asked, first thing out of the box, they asked Witt about it, obviously. And no elaboration on the depth chart is what he said.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we're putting it out there, and then it's...
But then later on, he said that we don't know right now who the starting QB is. So if you listen to the whole thing, things come out. And so that's my question to you and anybody else. Do you think he's playing games or is he's honest about it? Does he know right now? Do you think he knows right now? I'll just throw that out. Do people think he knows who he's starting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
It's 3 days before the game.
Yeah.
He knows who his starting quarterback
John
is.
John W. agrees with you.
He knows.
I think
of course
he
John,
knows.
He's an Oilers fan. John knows.
Oh, yeah, he is.
All right, Brandon, good point that last year we thought it was going to be Cam. But this is totally different than the Washington State game of last year. This is totally different. This is, we've had all of fall camp. They've seen the progression. Whether Cam is the guy or not, I don't know. I just think Whittingham knows.
I think maybe it's they haven't, like, officially said it to the team or officially even said it to the guy, but I think Whittingham and Ludwig and the coaching staff, they know. Within 3 days, you think one dude is all of a sudden going to completely put himself
they
above
know.
The other? I don't.
And yeah. I think the team would know, too. I think that the team would know. If I'm... There's no benefit for Whittingham coming out and saying that Bryson Barnes is the starter. There's no benefit. So play the mind games. Do what you do, Whit. You've always done it. So do that. And then the team knows. The team knows.
I don't know, man. One moment, I think he's playing games. The next moment, I think he's just an honest guy. He's just saying the way it is. We don't know yet.
You... Oh, bunt cake.
Oh, no.
3 days before, you don't believe he actually knows?
Look, I find it interesting, though, because in the past, when there's been some, I think I'm correct in this thinking, is that there were times he would put a player or somebody else because there's injuries or something going on. So I would have thought in this situation that he would have said, Cam Rising or Barnes or Nate Johnson, something like that. But by the fact they put him as number one.
It's just a firm number one. There's no or there.
Yeah,
you're right.
But they didn't put or.
Did
I think
it
was
on
one position group.
No,
they put or.
Not one, no.
Well, I'll do the Gary.
They They didn't use it for even one of these. And see, that's unusual. And
I'll give you mine. I think Cam Rising's playing.
You do?
Yeah. I think so too. What do you think, everybody? Cam's playing.
Did you hear Cam today?
He's coming out, man.
I don't.
I think that we're going to be sitting there. We'll see him warming up. And then first possession, we hear Bad Moon Rising, and that place explodes.
Has everyone seen how the blue moon is coming out?
Yeah, Bryn's over here being an astrologist.
I saw that on Instagram, and so I had to repost it. It's like this super moon. Wednesday and Thursday night.
Ken Musk, he ain't playing. Ken, that's wishful thinking, buddy, and you know it. You out there, Gator fans, you're all hoping. Not playing. He's playing.
I don't know.
Cam with the wink, baby. He's playing.
I kind of don't think so.
Okay. There we go.
But the blue moon is coming out, so it'd be so perfect.
Okay, but if he doesn't play, I want Nate Johnson. I want the upside.
Okay,
of Nate
so again, Barnes, Barnes and Johnson are neck and neck. In fact, he did say that Nate Johnson's going to play in this game
no matter what,
playing.
Regardless, he's going to be in the game. There's going to be some packages for Nate Johnson, which is exciting. I'm going to say when the chart came out, I was a little disappointed that Nate Johnson wasn't number two.
I was too.
I just think it's because of the experience of Barnes that he could jump in and because he's been in some huge games. I think there's an advantage to that. But I anticipate the excitement that Johnson could bring. It's a new thing, his mobility, all that kind of stuff. So
my prediction.
Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I don't think Cam plays. I think Barnes starts, and then it's a switch off between Barnes and Johnson the whole game.
I hate that.
I hate it, too.
I don't think you can do that because one's a pocket dude and one guy's...
That's the point, is they are two completely different.
Blocking systems are different.
I understand
quarterback
that,
is such a rhythm position. I think that it needs to be 80-20. If it's Barnes, you play Barnes and you give...
John W. agrees with me.
John W.
John, you're wrong, buddy. And Bryn's wrong and John's wrong.
You're great when you agree with me, John. It's 80-20. If Barnes is the guy, you bring in Nate on packages. 50-50 never works. It never works.
I don't like it.
You got two quarterbacks, means you got no quarterback. So I think Cam's playing. Again, wishful thinking. I get it.
But here's the worry. Here's the worry. I'm not sure if we're aware of you fans, is that Witt said that there's many guys who are questionable for this game.
Yeah.
Including Keithy, by the way. That just came up. Keithy is still questionable.
Yeah, Keithy's questionable, as is Cam. So, and then later on in the, so he said, and tell me if this is what you picked up. So he said, we have many questionable yet for this game, which would include Cam and would include Keithy. But he actually said, we have a half a dozen guys that are questionable for this game. And then at one point, he was talking about the D-line, and he thinks that we're going to have to go too deep into the D-line. So that seems to me to be where the injuries are, and that worries me because Florida's running game and how big they are and skill and all that stuff is going to be a problem.
Yep.
It worries me that the ones aren't fully there anyway.
Totally agree.
The benefit of that, though, is Florida's offensive line is extremely new. I think I saw they only have like one guy coming back. I'm sure all of you Florida fans will correct me if I'm wrong in that. But so matching up, I agree with you. That was very concerning to hear Whittingham say that today, is that there's half a dozen guys that are questionable.
What about...
I do believe him in that. I don't think he's playing a mind game when he says that.
Florida people. Is there, I forgot his name now, the starting center, he's been hurt.
He was day-to-day there about
day-to-day.
A week ago.
Is he going to play or not? Because let's be real. That will be a factor if he doesn't go. So what are we hearing? Is he going to be ready to play
Ken
or not?
Ken says no. I'm assuming he's referring to the center. Here's the thing, and there, this has come up a couple times from Florida fans.
They said they don't know. Brandon doesn't know. Some are just saying he's not playing.
Here's the thing. We talk about Florida. We talk about it's a rebuilt offensive line. New quarterback who did not have great stats. Don't come at me. I mean, look at him yourself. But this idea that we're that the three of us are disrespecting Florida, not giving Florida any respect, that's just stupid because we have said on multiple occasions, Florida's nothing but 4- and 5-star guys. I have nothing but respect for them. I am sick of Utah not getting the respect that they deserve. They can go head-to-head with this team and absolutely win this game. I think that there's strengths of Florida, their running game, and you're exactly right. If we can't stop their running game, we're in for a long night. So that D-line, that concerns me. Hopefully we can tackle better than last year. That was big. But yeah, this idea that we don't respect Florida, the exact opposite. We have absolutely nothing but respect for Florida. I just think Utah has the talent, has the coaching to beat them. That's all.
We'll pick up on some of the things you just said there. But on the depth chart, at left tackle, we have a freshman starting. Spencer Fano.
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of a
big, 6'5", 300.
Big surprise.
That's a big surprise. Congrats to him.
Fano brothers, dude.
But if you look at our O-line, man, the depth on that line is, and the experience, we have seven. See, this is the thing. We have 17 starters returning this year.
That's crazy.
So, come on. That
out of the 22?
That's, well, 17 starters. I'm not sure if.
That's okay.
If guys have beat him out. In other words, like Fano's going to start at left tackle. But he's been apparently been killing it in fall ball and in spring and so forth. So that's kind of cool. Let's see, I was going to look at the who's the. So Yasmin, so we have the two tight ends. We have Yasmin.
Keithy.
And then Keithy. Of course, he is still questionable.
He's not going to play.
The running back room. We have Jaquindon 1, Bernard 2. But honestly, Glover has been heard great things with Glover. And then Curry. So and the room's full of experience.
I think that's our strongest room. On the whole team, I think it's a running back room.
I do want to bring that up, running back room. And Florida fans, you may not realize what we were dealing with last year with our running back game. Oh, we had Tavion Thomas, and he's the one who played when we played in the Swamp. And he had an awesome year the year before. We had really high expectations for him. And last year, he had all sorts of personal issues going on that very much affected him on the field. And it also affected the entire running back room. It was kind of a negative, toxic kind of situation. And so I don't feel like he played great against Florida last year.
I don't either.
And it very much affected the rest of our running backs. So I am hopeful. And Jaquindon Jackson, who is our number one guy, he didn't step in as running back until
like midway,
like the third or fourth game. So he's going to be a new player for you all to watch because he didn't play as running. He was a third-string quarterback.
Yeah, and he's a heck of an athlete.
And he is, and he's bulked up. He's had a whole year now to learn the position, practice the position. So that is something to keep in mind, to watch out for, is that our running back situation looks very different than it did last year when we played Florida.
Also on the depth chart, on our defensive ends, left and right ends, left end, we have Connor O'Toole, who's projected to have a fantastic year. And his number two is Logan Fano, who's 6'4", 240, freshman.
The brother.
Two solid. So that's the one side. The other side is Fillinger and Jonah Ellis. Our defensive ends are solid. So when it comes to pass rush, we should be excited about that.
Utah's always had a tremendous defensive line. That's always been a strength, and I would agree. I think our DNs are going to create
all of those guys
so much havoc. And then, the guys up in the middle as well, and O'Toole, who you mentioned, starting off the year last year, you never heard of the guy. By the end of the year, he was sacking freaking Caleb Williams in the Pac-12 championship game on more than one occasion. So he went like this. So I'm with you completely.
And so they can rotate in, and they're all solid. So I'm excited about that. That's going to matter against the pass.
Right.
In this game and going forward.
They have the receivers, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. But I see people talking about, you know, our wide receivers, which is true. We have Money Parks, then Emory Simmons. That's kind of one set. Vele, McLean, and then you have Micah Pittman and Mikey Matthews.
Actually, some
I like
depth.
I like what
some depth there.
What I'm seeing and hearing. Of course, we don't know. We're going to wait and see once the lights are on and everyone's out on the field. But
oh yeah, and brought up Glover is from Florida.
Oh yeah,
our running back, our second/third string running back. He is from Florida.
Who Whittingham, I think today, said he feels like Jalen is the most improved player. Did he say that
something
today?
Something like
or
that,
that's
yeah.
Crazy. That's crazy considering some of the guys.
We told you what his arms look like.
I know Gary broke his hand on his traps.
Ouch. Still hurts.
But if you noticed,
I'm telling you.
When they dropped the, and Florida recruited him, he came to Utah. When they dropped the uniform today,
it was him.
It was Glover.
I didn't make that connection until you just said that. I thought, oh, that's okay. Awesome. They put Jalen on there. That's why.
Yep.
Okay. Can we?
It is no secret.
That uni is one of my favorite.
It's
all
the
red.
Best.
All the, red.
The, it's the that. This one, the red on red on red. Oh.
Yeah.
Know, I wish we'd just wear that all
it's
the time. Where
it looks
it's
so
it's going to be so sweet. What
all
a great choice.
Red.
That all red is, oh, man. Oh, and by the way, it's a red out. So
I know
Utah fans.
It's stupid we have to say this.
Can we please wear your red, not white, not black, not
yellow,
not the green shirts picking up refuge, whatever you do with
Look,
your shirt.
Refuge. What?
I understand you got the new cool gray shirt. You can't wait to wear.
It's a red out.
It's a red out, and that place.
Save that for Weber State.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Come on. Red on red, baby. Oh, I know. That's what I was hoping for. It's going to look good.
It's going to look great. It's great. So, yeah.
Connor Morris said he'll be shirtless in the muss. That's fine, dude. As long as you
paint some red
some
on.
Red.
Yeah.
That's great, dude. I am there for it.
I mean, he might be sunburned. It's the end of summer. You might be
That's
red.
That's true. If you're anything like me, you will be this red from here down.
So, two things. Let's go here. So, Whit talked about Florida, and he praised them.
Flush Jackson, I'll be shirtless in my living room.
I'm whatever floats your boat.
Hey, dude, go for it. Good for you.
I'm with it. Go for it. I think it's great.
All right.
So, anyway, Whit talking about Florida, man, he praised them. How just their size, their speed, their skill, and how big they are. Now, yeah, Florida is young. I mean, that's just the reality of it. A lot of skill.
A lot of they got some transfer dudes coming
in. And talented, yes.
Yeah.
But we're going to see now with this young squad, but props where props are due, and they're talented. And he talked about Mertz, and we all know it, that he is totally different quarterback from what we were up against last year with Richardson. We've already talked about this on our last episode. Two different kinds of things.
Yeah.
Mertz is a pocket guy. And, to say that he can't run, no, he can run, apparently. He's mobile and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, but he's not Richardson. But people are saying, and I don't know, whatever you're thinking, is that it opens up more of the offense now because you have a true pocket passer that does a bunch of stuff versus Richardson where...
You take away his first read.
Take a read,
he's gonna run.
That kind of stuff.
I see a lot of people, it's come up in the chat already, is a guy like Bo Nix transfers from Auburn into Oregon and goes from down here to up here. Yeah. Okay, Penix, same thing. Indiana, below average, you've barely heard of the guy, and now he's a Heisman Trophy candidate at Washington. Could this be the same thing? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the guy's going to have weapons and talent all over the place. Okay,
We will see. I don't know. All I'm going off of is it's the first game in this system with a rebuilt offensive line, as talented as they might be, going up against a really good Utah team on the road. And who knows, maybe he throws for 390 and four touchdowns and shuts me up. I mean, I'll eat it at that point. But I'm just saying, from what I have seen, he is a solid quarterback that is more traditional, and it doesn't scare me the way that Richardson did. And again.
So one of the things that Pate said to Josh Pate, he had, when he was at, let's see, sorry, at the Big Ten media day, he talked to Wisconsin, but then he also has talked to Napier, the coach of Florida.
I do like,
and talking about Mertz and the head coach of Wisconsin. I know at least their staff, I can't remember who their head coach is right off the top of their head, but they said they told Napier that they felt like they had mismanaged Mertz. That if he were to have stayed or could do it all over again, they would have done it differently. And so,
yeah, hindsight's incredible.
So what Napier's saying is that he's a better product than his stats show because of the way it was used in Wisconsin. So
it's interesting to me, and I've talked to some Florida fans, I've listened to some of them. Joe Blackburn is on our chat right now. He runs a Florida podcast, which we're actually going to be going on tomorrow. And it's shocking to me to hear Florida fans talk about how excited they are for something different. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you had Richardson, who was drafted fourth. So,
yeah.
But they're all excited to, like, get rid of that dude. It's kind of the feeling that we're getting, and they're excited for whatever's going to come with Mertz. And that has been kind of shocking to me, because from the outside looking in, I would think you guys would have loved Richardson, because
they didn't win enough. Though they went, what was it, 6-7? They didn't win enough.
It's true, but I mean,
I
don't know.
He was
a
fourth
pick. It's a weird thing. Overall. Brendan just said he can't throw.
He can't
throw. It was 53%
on the season.
So why was he drafted fourth? I still can't.
I'm just saying, freak athlete.
I know.
I get why Florida fans are wanting to move away from. I would too. You didn't win enough, and
I don't know.
I am on board with, I want a quarterback. I want a guy who can run and is mobile. I want a quarterback. I want a guy who can throw the football. Richardson was a running back who could throw the ball every now and then.
But do you see what I'm saying? It's interesting to hear that. I've heard a lot of Florida people be like, we're so excited. It's such an upgrade. And I'm going, wait, you just had a dude drafted fourth. So
he's
going
to start for the Colts, by the way.
It's weird to hear you say you have an upgrade.
Suck too,
he probably.
I get the reasoning. It's just weird to hear you say you have an upgrade.
You can't tell. I just don't get it, though, that you would rather have Mertz over Richardson. Would you rather have kept Richardson for one more year or have Mertz come in? I mean, come on.
Well, Mertz is like an off-brand
no
Bryson
way,
Barnes.
Man.
That's a pretty good comment.
What?
Mertz is like an off-brand Bryson Barnes. That's like a wish.com Bryson Barnes. Is that?
But I'm going back to what you said, though.
Patrick, yes,
I'm
these genius. Are.
I'm going back to this.
The nothing bunt cakes, and they're going to be at our tailgate.
Unreal. Go, Gary.
He was asking. Yeah,
the Colts will suck. who said that? John W. I don't think you can underestimate that sometimes a player, including a quarterback, does need a new opportunity under a new system, and that's why Bo Nix,
100%.
Dude, is one of the top quarterbacks in all college football. Uh-huh. He came from Auburn, correct?
Correct.
He just needed a change.
Yep.
And Penix, I mean, he was in Indiana.
I'd never heard of the guy. Now, he was hurt a bunch. I'd never heard
but
of the
now,
guy.
New system.
Uh-huh. New coaching.
New guys lighting it up. And so that, I got to say, that worries me some. We'll see. I don't know.
Right, but all we have to go off of is his stats from where he's played. So they weren't great.
No, and honestly.
So that's all we have to go off of.
By the end of the year, he might have a great season. I just think it's a lot to expect. I think that people are underestimating the impact of being on the road at Rice-Eccles, first game of the year at this. Like, there's a lot to it to expect. I'm just saying.
Rose Ethington said an off brand barn, so a pigless farmer. That's a good
one. That's a good one, Rose. That's good.
Because Bryson Barnes is a pig farmer.
Also, Jahzir Bear, good name. This is probably the deepest wide receiver room Utah's ever had, in my opinion.
It seems so.
I hope
seems
so.
Seems so.
We don't know. We're going to find
That's
out.
That's where I worry is our receivers. I don't
know. Here's the thing, though.
I don't know.
So I'm listening to Josh Pate, and he's being pretty politically correct in talking about both teams, obviously, though he's talking to Bill Riley.
Okay.
But he's not
Bill
leaning
Riley
Utah.
Is a Wish.com Utah football fans podcast.
Okay.
Nothing. Just ignore it.
But this is how I interpreted what he said. You can go back and listen to it. He didn't come out and overtly say this, but he was talking about, so
I like Pate.
Riley asked him, what do you think what's going to end up? And he says, well, you know, whatever he said, he goes, it basically depends upon whether Cam Rising plays. And in the context of the way he said it and under the question, it seemed to me that he was saying that he thinks Florida is going to win this game if Cam Rising doesn't play.
I mean, their odds go up significantly without Cam Rising.
A lot of people think that, yeah.
Okay, but did you see the line today?
Yeah, everyone's reading into this line thing, and oh, it dropped to 4.5. Well, guess what, everybody?
No, it's up.
It's back up. What's it now, 7.5?
6.5, what I saw, 6.5.
So, putting...
And that's with all the Cam
I know
stuff.
It's all about where the money goes. I don't put too much stock into that.
So, okay. You saw Swamp Kings.
Yeah, I finished it.
I still have one more to go.
Those on the chat, have you seen Swamp Kings? Can we just take a minute or two and talk about a few things from Swamp Kings?
By all means, yeah.
And go just for it.
Come on in. First of all, I'll start here. And you told, when we were just talking the other day,
yeah,
I think we were on the phone, is Feinbaum the most elitist jerk? I mean,
he's such a
yeah, but Florida people probably
wagon.
Like
they
him.
Florida people.
They love him.
Brendan, you...
Because he's SEC.
No, you guys can... He was critical of this little pencil neck guy that weighs 110 pounds, acts like he is the SEC, criticizing Florida. This guy acts like he's so cool. I can't believe anybody takes this guy serious in the SEC.
You're exactly
no,
right.
People don't like him. You're
all right, good. He's awful.
He is
awful.
A tool. Brendan, he's a freaking tool. I can't believe how he thinks he is.
He thinks he's SEC, and his, like, it's just, I can't listen to him. He's the biggest, I don't know how to say it without getting censored by YouTube.
Yeah, well, so
yeah, don't do that.
But you know what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm listening to this guy going, my gosh, you just are such a prick. It's unreal.
No, and just the arrogance of this little twerp.
Yeah, arrogant.
It bothered me. He just kept calling it the Southeastern Con. And I'm like,
we
all
know.
We know
what it is. The South, football just means more.
But he acts like he's above. He acts like he, when I watched that, he acted as if he was above Florida.
Yeah, he thinks he is higher than the SEC.
And even Alabama and Georgia. He's like up here overseeing.
Do you think he has a has a poster of Nick Saban in his bedroom? Honest question.
On his freaking
ceiling,
dude.
Ew.
He does.
I guarantee it.
Okay.
He just loves
Feinbaum.
He's the worst.
That guy.
He ruined the whole show.
He does hate Florida. I couldn't believe him. A nobody criticizing guys who win championships. I just, it drives me crazy. Now, okay, here's the other thing, though, I'll say. I wrote a couple of things down at that era.
New Dixie.
Huh? That's, I don't want to even think about that. Walter, how dare you?
So Florida... This is under Urban and all this stuff. So I had forgotten the timeline of everything. So Urban leaves here and goes there.
Yeah.
Okay. And Urban built upon where we had come and did great things for Utah, won a Fiesta Bowl and all that kind of stuff. So we have great connections to Urban Meyer. But 2 championships in 3 years, 2006, 2008. So they won in was it 2006?
Yeah.
2006.
Yeah, and then 2008.
And then 2008. But here's the thing. And then in 2008 and 2009, they were 26-2. Florida is 26-2.
Between those.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Those 2 years.
Those 2 years. And then they had the one bad year after in 2007, they lost four games.
Right. Yeah, but Tebow won the Heisman that year.
Okay, but if you put 2006, skip 2007, they lost four. But then 2006, 2008, 2009.
Yeah, they're undefeated in
2009. They were 39-3.
Yeah, their only loss in 2009 was the SEC championship game. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But I'm getting to a point here. They won two national championships and a Sugar Bowl. And Urban Meyer had to quit because he wasn't successful. He couldn't keep it going. And I'm thinking to myself, that is not healthy.
No, he's out of his mind.
Okay, if you are that successful and are not satisfied, I understand wanting to continue to win. But if you can go 39-3, win two championships.
Have a Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay. And you have a mental breakdown. That's not healthy. I would say, I don't know. Take some meditation. Do yoga.
He was hooked on
Ambien. Get religion. Do something.
I don't know. I'm with you.
I'm watching this success, and all these dudes melting down. I'm going, come on, man.
And then he takes an hour break and then goes to Ohio State and does the same thing up at Ohio State.
It feels
a little weird, I will say.
I'm not going to say too many things.
Okay, I'm talking about the Swamp Kings. Any thoughts on what I just said?
Well, I haven't finished it, but what I'm saying is I think there was a lot of other reasons for him leaving Florida because the whole health thing, if it was really your health, you wouldn't go on and coach another team.
I agree.
I mean, let's be honest, right?
My thing on Swamp Kings is it was really well done. But it was supposed to be the untold story of the Florida Gators. That wasn't untold. We all knew that. Now, maybe not to the extreme level of the way that it was like military and they're training at midnight in military garb and all that stuff. But they didn't mention
that
Aaron Hernandez.
Once in a while.
I know. But like, and I understand, like, Urban's never going to sign off on this. But
yeah.
Aaron Hernandez was on this team.
Yeah, it's kind of a big...
They mentioned him like
big headline.
In half a sentence.
Yeah.
There was like 175 arrests or something. Not that many, but you know what I mean. Like there was some deep, crazy stuff going on. Cam Newton was on this team.
Well, and yeah. I've seen a lot of the commenters talking about Percy Harvin. Why didn't he get... he probably didn't agree to it, but...
Wasn't interviewed.
Was a nut job, dude.
Yeah,
he was bipolar or something. He choked out a coach in a coach room.
Yeah.
Okay, so why isn't that being talked about? That's
because Urban, it was a fluff piece for Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. And also, I like Tim Tebow. But why is he having to talk like this? It was just so
because he's Mr.
Emotional.
He's the preacher man.
My final point.
All right, then we'll move on.
And then we'll move on. But my final point. If you've seen it, and particularly our Florida fans, in 2006 when you won the championship, Chris Leak was the quarterback. The dude was good.
I know.
But this whole freaking thing made Tim Tebow. Now, I'm not saying he didn't play a part in the championship. He was a short yardage running back is what he was, and it worked well. But Chris Leak was the guy, he was just dissed, I thought.
Absolutely. It was like, he's not good enough. He goes and wins a national championship. And they're like, okay, bye.
I don't know. I just felt bad for him. I thought that was kind of a slam, personally. But
it was good. I'd watch it.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's been other untolds that I've enjoyed more. But it was good.
Yeah. The Manti Te'o one is like the only one I feel like where they actually dove into the story and you didn't know.
You haven't watched the Manti Te'o one? Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
That one's crazy. And you feel bad for the guy.
So, I was reading on, should we get to our prediction of the game? You want to get there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to our prediction. But before I get there, reading on Fan Nation. I think it was quoted in Sports Illustrated website, but I'd have to find it. But they have their criteria and so forth, but they had Utah's chances for victory from their power index. And this is just one. I've read a bunch of others.
On this game alone?
On this particular game. This game. And their power index, and I quote, are siding squarely with the home team as Utah has the comfortable 73.3% chance to defeat Florida, is what they said. On all of the polls, Utah is up there right around 10 to 14. I will say this, though, is that I personally think Florida is underrepresented. I think people are underestimating how good they're going to be.
Totally agree.
When I hear and so forth. But, for instance, the ESPN Power Poll, I think they have Florida. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but Brandon. I think they have Florida, I think, at 25.
Ranked 25th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe
they're actually the only one. And then Utah is at 14 or 15 or something like that. I mean, there's so many of them. I lose track of them. Yeah. But Utah's on all the polls. There's other people who have their power indexes and how percentage chance to win this game. And by far the majority, I'd say about 90%, feel like Utah is going to win this game, even with all of this stuff going on with Cam. What do you think about any of that?
No, I agree. I think we've said it. I think Florida is a very good team. I think they're a top 25 team, honestly. I think got more talent now than they did last year. Their coach is another year under his belt and can implement his system. I just think this game in Utah, first game of the year, I give the advantage to Utah. Now, my prediction is going to be based off of Cam playing. If Cam doesn't play, it changes everything, and there's just too much of who knows. Because I've seen Bryson Barnes play, you know, a game, essentially, against Washington State. A little bit different. So
managed game.
All right, I'll go first.
So there you go.
Based off of Cam playing, Jordan Brown, USC sucks. Amen.
We should talk about.
We don't have time. We don't have time.
We're going to talk about it. I want to get her 30 view on it.
34-24 Utah. 10-point win by Utah.
Utah wins?
Yeah.
34-24.
Cam, three touchdowns, 328 yards passing.
I'm not going that
in depth. You don't have
depth.
To. I'm just saying.
Couple things. So, Rice-Eccles Stadium. We do have a 14-game win streak. That actually pisses me off because that started, we lost against USC in 2020 when there was no fans there. So I really don't, it just pisses me off that they even count.
COVID
that.
Days.
The COVID, yeah, because there was no, you couldn't have fans and blah, 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 blah. So if you look in the past 5 years, we have a record of 26-2 at home. And one of those losses was the USC 2020. And then the only other home loss was to Washington in 2018.
Oh, I'm still pissed off about that game, by the way.
So, we tend to win in Rice-Eccles.
Okay, just go!
We're going to win based on what I'm feeling, and I don't think Cam's going to play, so then it makes me think it's going to be lower scoring. I'm going 24-14.
Oh, 14 Florida points.
Woo!
Yeah, I think they have too many unknowns with their quarterback as well.
Okay. This is the
you're gonna eat me alive, Florida people. I know you are, but that's just how I'm feeling.
This is the first SEC team to ever to come Rice-Eccles. By the way, this is the first. This is cool.
And just think, we could be playing somebody local.
Gosh,
what are we doing?
Garsh Donner,
Harlan.
God. Dang. So that's cool. It's exciting. Yeah, Utah is going to win the game. Now, it's not because I'm a homer, but look, most people would agree with our choice of Utah. If it was flopped, I would say, yeah, we're the underdog. It's going to be hard to win and give some reasons why we could. But in this case, I feel like for all the things you've said and what we've talked about, Utah should win this game. I think it's going to be close, man. Even if Cam plays or doesn't play, I think it's going to be 28-24. I think it's going to be a tight game.
I can totally see that.
I just
like last year. I can see that. I mean, Florida's, they're good.
No, it's, it, and so we're going to have first game of the season. So it, both teams, we, it's just, it's unknown how they're going to come out and play.
Right.
All the speculation until they're out on the field, come together as a team. Though Utah has more returners, but do they come back as a team?
Right.
Does Florida, with all the talent, come in and play together as a team? So we're just spitting in the wind.
Your favorite phrase.
But having said all that, with all the analysis from people who are supposed to be in the know, and just my feel, Utah wins. But
and that's with Gary thinking Cam doesn't play, by the way.
Yeah. But even if he plays,
he'll be limited.
I feel like it's not going to be full speed Cam.
He won't be. He's not going to be putting his body out there like he did.
But having said that, I think we win. I think we win 28-24. That's my prediction.
We need to talk a little bit about the weather that is going to impact the Florida.
Yeah.
So the original Florida travel plans were they were going to fly in on Thursday.
Wednesday,
because the game's Thursday. On Wednesday, game Thursday, fly out, which is a little bit crazy to me to have zero acclimation to 6,500 feet or whatever. But things have shifted because there's a hurricane coming where now the plan is to fly to Dallas.
Tomorrow, Tuesday.
Spend a night in Dallas, then fly to Salt Lake City on Wednesday, and the game on Thursday. I think it's very interesting.
That's a lot to put on your team.
That's a lot of random travel, hotel. It adds up. I mean, it does.
I was looking. Brandon reminded me. You're right. Florida is going to have a tough time getting here. They're going to have to change. If you remember, Utah got stuck on the tarmac in Florida.
Coming home.
How many hours they had to wait?
Stuck like 12 hours.
Oh, that's right.
It was like terrible.
That whole night on after the tarmac. Game, they were stuck.
And then they were in the airport.
They were in the airport and slept all over the airport.
That's fun.
In Gainesville.
To lose
right
the
after
last,
they lose.
The last
like
20
that.
Seconds.
That's right.
And then you're sleeping on the floor.
Me. Yeah.
Could be worse. It could have been like Urban and kept him on the plane for an hour yelling at people. Freaking psycho.
He has a nut job, but man, he's a winner. I'll give him that. If you can get him for that window before he totally cracks, you're going to win a championship.
Bring him back to Utah for a couple of years.
Kidding, man.
All
right, are we doing season predictions?
Season predictions, because we haven't done it yet. We got to get it on the record. We'll do it.
And we're always 100% accurate. Yeah. Someone will clip this and play it on Twitter for the next 8 years and be like, these guys are idiots. Well, yeah, we're
making, go for,
we're Brandon, making predictions.
I should pull up the...
The schedule. Well, I kind of don't need it. I don't know. I'm sad to say this, but I think 9-3.
I think 9-3 is very respectable with the...
That's the thing. The way our schedule is laid out... We have to go on the road to USC, to Washington, Oregon State. Like, I can very much see that we're going to lose three games at least, probably. I hate saying that. It hurts, but that's kind of where I'm at.
9-3?
Especially with all the unknowns with Cam.
I think 10-2. I think 10-2, and I think...
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do. I've actually put a lot of thought into this. I can see anything between 10-2 and 8-4. I can see that. The Pac-12, the top of the Pac-12, man, holy crap. I think that Oregon State game on the road is going to be really tough, and I think Washington on the road. I think those are the two. USC, you guys better fix that defense. I'm just saying. Right now, I don't see them challenging for the Pac-12. I'm just saying it. I watched them struggle against San Jose freaking State. You better fix it, boys.
It's not getting fixed.
It's not getting fixed that quick. So I'm saying 10-2. That's my prediction. Lincoln Riley does not play defense. Correct. That is the most factual statement of all time.
Oh, that was, it really.
It was a 7-point game at halftime.
I know.
Against San Jose State.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Mike,
but
you can't say it was a scrimmage.
It wasn't
because
a scrimmage.
Your quarterback is out there playing full blown. And here's my thing.
Crybaby.
Logically, in my brain.
Can I say mine and then we can get on with those?
Let me talk about USC.
Okay, we're talking about USC for a minute.
And then you'll go to yours. Logically, in my
Brandon,
brain.
What do you think about that game?
I want to respect Caleb's talent, and then I watch him for about 5 minutes. I can't stand the guy. He's such a crybaby. He whines about everything.
Everything.
Dude, you won the Heisman. You're going to win by 50 points. Why do you have to whine about everything? Oh, it drives me crazy. They can't tackle. I felt like I was watching the same team that played last year.
It's the exact same team.
They're just hoping they'll score more than everybody else. And how did that work out for you last year?
I mean, they lost two games, and they were both to us.
But Tulane.
Oh, yeah, and Tulane.
Yeah,
well. Okay. Oregon State, Washington, they're all better this year.
And that's the thing. USC did not have to play Oregon or Washington last year, so they're not winning the Pac-12.
Not the way that it's
lined up right now. Laying the wood.
I tried. I really tried, people. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. Why? I can't when I watch him. It
he
just
threw
all...
for freaking four touchdowns.
He whines
against
San Jose State. He
the dude threw for four touchdowns.
Don't care.
Oh, he drives me nuts. Just act like you deserve to be there. Stop whining about everything.
Their defense, I think we have to be careful. I think we have to be careful. It's the first game, and they're playing San Jose State. I believe they're going to... I'm not trying to defend him, for crap's sake.
If you let San Jose State march down the field multiple times in that game, I'm just saying.
Overreaction.
All right.
Is Brynn overreacting?
No. She's spot on.
Is Brynn overreacting?
No, I'm not.
All right.
Go ahead. Give us your season. I'm not.
You got to wear your glasses, though, to do your season prediction. Oh, that's mine now.
What did you do?
He stuck his finger in.
Put finger on my glasses?
In Frosty.
No. All right. Here's what it is.
Brendan, you're the man. What is going on?
Right on, Brendan.
Thank you, Brendan.
Brendan, by the way, are you coming? Please tell me you're still coming.
I know. He wasn't sure if he was coming.
It's up and down. It's up and down.
Yeah, the thing is, okay, here's why. We have a tough schedule.
He's got to put the glasses on for
this. Very
tough
schedule.
You know, with these glasses on, and because of the polarization, I cannot see the screen. Have you ever done that? Yeah, seriously?
That's what polarized glasses will do.
It blocks out everything. I can't even see anything. Maybe that's okay.
That's fine. You don't need it.
Utah, I predict we're going to be 9-3.
I
think that's if we go 9-3. Now, here's the thing. People will think, okay, by him saying that, there's no way they're going to win the Pac-12. Or be in the Pac-12 championship. No, that's not necessarily true because...
I didn't say that there's no way
I'm not
Utah.
Saying you did. Okay. Some people say okay. that...
looking at me like
okay,
I said
Okay, I won't
it.
Look at you. If we go 9-3, I won't have a conversation with you. If we go 9-3, people go, oh, you see, you're out of it. No, here's what it is. We play Florida, which will be a tough game. And we're going to have to play good to win. And Baylor, we've got to go to Baylor.
That's underrated.
That's going to be a tough one.
I'm worried about that one.
So, honestly, if we could come out of this first three games, and we'll kill Weber State. That's just the way it is. Come out of this 2-1, we'd have a loss. And then two losses in the Pac-12, of course, depending on who they are. And who we would beat, that possibly could still get us in the Pac-12 championship game. So even at 9-3, now but we could lose the first three and still go to the Pac-12 championship game.
If we lose the first three, I'm really, really worried.
But I'd be worried about it.
Weber State.
if we were to go 3-0 by some because we just had it going. Dude, I could see us doing some real damage. I still think we're going to do damage, but I think it's 9-3, and I still think we have an excellent shot to get to the championship game. I just think our team is built to play against these offenses.
Well, I agree with you because I don't think any Pac-12 team is realistically going 11-1 this year.
Everyone's saying
maybe
freaking
even
10-2. USC's going to be undefeated.
No. There's no – I'm sorry. There's too much parity.
Do you see the freaking schedule, though? Seven games are like gimmies.
Well, yeah, they're going to go undefeated that first half, but then...
They have a bye week before every single game, it feels like. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable.
It's their second half of the season is...
How did we get on them, by the way?
Because we hate them so much. Because they're all,
like, the only game that played last weekend.
All right, so you got 10-2. We're both 9-3. Do you have... I mean, I see the predictions like 8.5 people. That's kind of where it comes on an average.
I would take the over on that.
So I say Utah gets 9. And it's critical on these first few, whether it, you know, how it plays out. Obviously, that kicks you out of any conversation for the playoff.
Yeah.
100%. If somehow Utah were able to go 3-0 and then start the season, win a few games up front, then we're right in the mix.
Yeah, it could be 7-1. Realistically, 7-0.
If everyone's saying if, but
that's the fun part about right now.
You know, I'm sick of all this if
all
stuff.
These wholesome
I just want to play.
Dreams.
I want to get. I want them on the field. I'm ready for it. Thursday can't get here soon enough.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not
to
gonna
actually
sleep.
See some stuff.
The anticipation is just too much.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Brendan, you.
He does
Brendan doesn't
be
think
playoff.
We seriously want to be in the playoff. Oh, yes, I do.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I would like to be.
Brendan, I'll just say this. If we are in the playoff, we're going to need way more super thanks to afford to be able to go. That's all I'm saying.
The point is, though.
Adopt me. And then send me, because holy crap,
if
those tickets.
My point is, if we were able to get to the playoff, we would have to be better than we even think we can be. Things would have to come together, and we'd have to be fantastic. So I wish that could happen, and we could get there. I'm not anticipating it.
Thursday. Give us, in our last just couple minutes, any Florida fans who are coming to the game, give them some tips on what to expect, what to do in Salt Lake.
This has come up a couple of times where if you've never been to Salt Lake City, it's a great place. I mean, we're literally against
thank you, John,
the
w.
mountain range. We'll take
go
it.
Oilers.
Go Oilers. John, we'll talk hockey later on. I've got a lot to say about the Oilers. So I kind of came up with a couple of things when it comes to what to do in Salt Lake City. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, these are good things. And if you have anything, add to them. But go up to the mountains. So obviously, mine would be go up to Snowbird and ride the tram. You ride the tram to the peak of this mountain, and there's a restaurant up top. It's pretty unbelievable. If you've never been to the mountain range, it's incredible. Go Park City.
Park City.
Park City is a big one. There's lots to do up there. There's Sundance. There's like hikes. There's one called, what's it called? Donut Falls. Mm-hmm. And then there's another, I can't remember the name of it, up Sundance. Anyway, great places.
The mountains look spectacular right now.
Go up them. It's
gorgeous.
Go up
right
Little
now.
Cottonwood, Big Cottonwood, doesn't matter. For food, I would say Silver Fork Lodge is up one of the canyons. It's up the Big Cottonwood, mm-hmm. Little Cottonwood, Big Cottonwood. That's great. Ruth's Diner. I went there the other night.
Ruth's Diner is sweet.
Go to Ruth's Diner. It's up Emigration Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Great food, great atmosphere. And then I guess got to throw this one in there. Go to Hires. I love Hires.
Oh, Hires.
Anything to add? Anybody? Oh, Park Cafe. Yeah, that was the other one. It's over by the U. Great, great breakfast. Oh, Joe appreciate
our
it.
Florida guy. Thank you.
Yeah, so there's lots and things to do in Salt Lake City. I will say this, if you're traveling here, a lot of people will go to Temple Square. That's a really popular place. Right now is not great. There's a lot of construction going on down there. You can't really walk around. I would say skip it, honestly.
Well, no, because the City Creek Mall is right there.
Yeah, but
you can't see, the Salt Lake Temple is under renovation, so there's a lot of construction. But that whole area walking around downtown is still nice.
It's still nice, but it's just different. You're not going to be able to go up and see the temple and all, which has always been a huge draw for Salt Lake. But if you're coming, please, it's an incredible place. We love it here.
The Red Iguana, put that on the list.
That's a good
one. I will say this.
Cafe Rio.
Tanner.
Come on. We can get a little bit better than
that. If you're here for a while, and if you wanted to go to southern Utah, down to Zion.
Oh, baby.
And do some hiking and see some desert and see some other stuff.
Moab is a 3.5-hour drive.
It's cool. So I'm just, I know some people are, I was listening to the other day, the play-by-play guy for the Gators. I forgot his name now, but he was talking about, he knew people who were coming, because they've never been here before.
Yeah.
They're going to make it a trip and things to do. And Zion was brought up and Southern Utah and stuff there. Yeah, if you're going to be here for several days and, you know, it's worth seeing.
Jordan Brown said, don't go to Provo.
Amen.
Absolutely don't.
Yeah.
Also, one more
unless
thing.
Unless you're going to Thomas Orthodontics.
Yes.
For some reason.
Let go.
Make a trip to Thomas Orthodontics and then get out of there.
No, but one thing you didn't mention, take public transit.
Oh, yeah.
Trax is our light rail system. So if you're coming from anywhere really in the valley, but from like downtown or whatever, take that up to the stadium. There's a station right at Rice Eccles. It's free with your game ticket. You don't want to try and come park up at the stadium.
It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
Unless you're there early.
Yeah, but
you can
even
walk in
still,
the neighborhoods and walk in if you want to take it, make it a day. And come to the tailgate.
True. But certain neighborhoods you can't park in. Trax, it's a good option, especially from for the out-of-towners.
Yeah.
The only other
the pie. A lot of people say the
food
pie.
Establishment that I would say is stop at a Maverick gas station and get a hot dog and some chips and a beverage. It's the best hot dogs you'll get around. I'm just giving it to
hey,
you.
Hey, I thought we were doing a Gary.
I forgot.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll do it in a future episode.
Okay. A Maverick.
No.
Get some of that gross relish on there. I mean, come on.
And if you're a golfer, go up to Heber. There's a bunch of courses up there.
The pie.
Gosh dang it. I like Utah. It's
beautiful. Yeah, the pie. A pizzeria. It's right close to...
It's right on campus.
The campus. And that is the best pizza around.
Walk around campus. It's beautiful. I think we've...
There you go, you fans. We're all excited. Florida fans, we're all excited. It's upon us. This is going to be fun. Football season, finally. All this talk, we can get down to business. Anything?
Go hey, Utes. It just get here soon.
Did we say we have a tailgate and you're all invited?
Yes, we did. Have some more of the cake. How was the chocolate one?
I didn't have the chocolate.
Oh, Gary tried the chocolate one.
No, I had one of the clear ones. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.